And we'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. I think most of you probably already know that the book of Hebrews is talking about how much better things are under grace than they were under the law. There are many of the scriptures in the book of Hebrews that contrast the way things were under the law with the way they are under grace. One of the contrasts that's made is that there was a temple, a tabernacle and a temple under the law that was completely different than the temple and the tabernacle that we have today. There was a literal, visible temple and tabernacle under the law, and there is a spiritual temple and tabernacle that we have today. There are many, many other contrasts that are made. Hebrews chapter 9, probably as much as any chapter, tells us detail by detail the differences in the law and since the law was fulfilled in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Hebrews chapter 8, I want to begin with verse 1 and read through verse 5. The Word of God says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum." He's summarizing everything now. He says, "We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Now our high priest, listen carefully, our high priest today is completely different than the high priest they had under the law in the Old Testament. Those high priests that they had back there were men just like you and I are human people. And those high priests were people that had to, first of all, they had to offer sacrifices for their own sins before they could offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. But now we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens. And our high priest today is far superior to all of the other high priests that have ever lived on the face of this earth. And I thank God. I cannot tell you how blessed we are today to be living in the age in which we live. Hebrews chapter 8, 9 says, "We have this high priest, Jesus, that is passed into the heavens." And verse 2 says, "A minister of the sanctuary." Now he's talking about there's a new sanctuary today, just like we have a new high priest. And Jesus is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. You see the difference he's making between the tabernacle that the Lord pitched versus that tabernacle that we read about in the Old Testament. He says in verse 3, "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices." Were there gifts and sacrifices that were made under the law in that old dispensation? Certainly there were. Are there different offerings and gifts and sacrifices that we make today? Indeed there are. "Wherefore," the rest of verse 3 says, "Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." Now this is what God said to Moses in verse 5. And that's the main thing that's on my heart, is that God told Moses to see, that is to be absolutely certain, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount." Now Moses was going to be making a lot of things as he built the tabernacle and all the things that were pertaining to the tabernacle. Every detail was given by God. God had told Moses exactly how the tabernacle was to be built. And everything, all of the offerings and the sacrifices, all of the details, all of the utensils, did they have did they have candles, just like we have candles up here? Now, their candles were much more elaborate than this. But everything they had in that tabernacle, God had told Moses exactly how to make those things. He said, now, this is the way that you do it. This is the length of the building. This is the width of the building. This is what you're to make all the coverings out of. This is what you're to make all of the utensils out of. And God told Moses, now you see that you make all things according to the pattern that was given to you in the mount. There was a pattern. There was a pattern, or there was a model that was given to Moses in the mount. And God said, you make everything just like I told you to make them. You know, I believe that in our society today, that one of the biggest problems we have among Christianity is that we want to conform things to suit the people. Instead of using the pattern that God has given us and doing everything according to the pattern given to us in the Word of God, we want to tailor-make everything. And I find that many people today are trying to change the Word of God or change the church to make the church fit the people instead of the people conforming to the pattern that's given to us in the Word of God. This tabernacle that we're talking about here, it was a foreshadowing of the church that we have in the world today. But if you were to go back and to study, and I wish that we had time, and I've done a lot of studying this week on the tabernacle and everything that God told Moses to make, he said, now this is the way to do it. And I'll be glad to give any of you a list of scriptures for you to go home and study all the different things that God told Moses. Now, here's the way that you build this. He told him, here's the way that you make this. He took step by step all the way through. God told Moses exactly how, in the book of Exodus chapter 25, God told Moses exactly how to build the tabernacle and all the things that were going to go in the tabernacle. And then Joshua comes along, and in the book of Joshua, we find that God tells Joshua the exact same words. He says, now, when you go into the land of Canaan, you set up that tabernacle, and you do all of those things for the worship of the people of God as they begin to worship God there in the tabernacle in Canaan land. He says, you be careful that you do all things according to the pattern that I've given to you. God gave Moses a pattern. It was the same pattern that God gave to Joshua. He didn't change the pattern. It was a new day, and it was a new age, and it was a new place, but the pattern was identical. And then they began to build the temple. You remember when David wanted to build the temple, and God would not let David build the temple, but when Solomon began to build the temple, you have the exact same wording there, that they were to build the temple. They were to build the temple, which was a broader, a more beautiful building than the tabernacle was, though it was very similar. And he said, you're to build the temple according to the pattern that I've given to you. Everything that God told the children of Israel to do in building the temple and the tabernacle and the buildings and every detail of those buildings, he says, you must do it according to the pattern that I've given to you. Now, when we come into the New Testament, God has not given us the liberty to make our own pattern or to change the things that God has set up in the Word of God. I believe that the New Testament gives us just as clear a pattern of what the church is to be as the pattern that was given to Moses in the mount as he gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle. Every detail that was given to Moses, I believe that they all compare and are a foreshadowing of the details that God has given to us in the New Testament for the church. And brethren, it doesn't matter who it is, we cannot alter or change the pattern that God has given to us in His Holy Word. It's not allowable by God to change the pattern that He's given to us. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at some of the things that God tells us about the church. And we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at this, but I do want you to know that there are many, and in fact, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that everything the church needs is described to us in the Word of God. And I believe that when we begin to try to come up with the devices and schemes to make the church grow, or we come up with anything to make the church better, other than what's given to us in the Word of God, if we begin to add to the Word of God or take away from the Word of God, if we begin to change the pattern, it doesn't matter how much of the pattern we follow, if there is any portion that we change, then it's not going to be acceptable to God. I thought about this. I went to see a man about getting a suit this week, and he said, you know, we can tailor-make this suit. We can fix it exactly. Well, you know, I just like just the plain, normal pattern. But I thought, started thinking about that while I was studying about this. I remember Brother Ed Evans one time talked about having a suit tailor-made. And he said when they first put that suit on him, that the left sleeve, they got it fixed just right. And the right sleeve was about 6 or 8 inches too long. And he looked at himself in the mirror, and the left sleeve, they do one sleeve at a time. Everything's tailor-made. And he stood there, and he looked in the mirror, and he said, now there was that left sleeve that looked just right, and the right sleeve was 6 or 8 inches too long. And the left leg, he got the left leg just right, and the right leg was way down over my shoe. And you know, brethren, I believe with all of my heart that that's about the way the churches look today, that we have so many things that we do according to the pattern. Part of the church looks just like the pattern that God gave us, and the rest is just completely different than what God has allowed in His Word. And when we begin to do that, we're going to look just as ridiculous as a man going around town with half of the suit tailored and the other half just left in its other form. You cannot, listen carefully, you cannot tailor-make the church to fit your or my personal desires. The qualifications, and that's what we're going to look at first of all. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications, 1 Timothy chapter 3, gives us the qualifications for pastors and the qualifications for deacons. And brethren, you cannot begin to alter any of these things without changing the pattern that God's given us in His Holy Word. 1 Timothy chapter 3, first I want you to notice verses 14 and 15. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, the Scripture says, These things write I unto thee. Now, had the Apostle Paul written these things to the young preacher Timothy? Had he written these things to the young preacher Timothy? Now, even though he wrote them to Timothy, I want you to know they are in our Bible today because they were inspired by God, and this is the Word of God. It is amazing to me when I read commentaries of men and they say, well, when Paul wrote this about the qualifications of deacons and elders, that was his own personal feeling. This is not Paul's personal feeling. This is the Word of God. This is the pattern that God told Paul exactly how to describe what the qualifications are to be. It was not Paul's personal vendetta or feelings. Paul wasn't against people who had been divorced and remarried being in the ministry. It was the standard that God set up. Paul didn't set it up. And we can't change it today. No matter how much we might want to, you just can't change the pattern and expect God's blessings on the church. So he gave the pattern here and he says, these things, look at verse 14. These things write I unto thee. What things has he just written? All the qualifications. You go back and study verses 1 through 13. He's just written the qualifications for deacons and elders. And he says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, do I need to know how to behave myself in God's house? Has God given us a pattern so that we can know how to behave ourselves in the house of God? Some people don't know how to behave themselves literally in the house of God. Did you know that? Some people have no respect for the house of God. Now I know you can take it to this extreme and you can worship the building instead of worshiping the God of the building. And I know that a poor person can come to this building and they can be dressed in rags and that's all right. Do you understand that? A poor person can come here and they can come dressed in rags and it's quite all right. Somebody from the nursing home that might not be able to get out of a nightgown and a bathrobe. They may have to come in a nightgown and a bathrobe and house shoes, and that's quite all right. If that's the best they can do, that's all God requires of them. Brethren, there ought to be a standard of dress that you and I ought to follow in the house of God if we respect the Word of God. How many of you, we just had a junior-senior prom. Sister Jordan, you were there, right? How many people showed up in blue jeans and t-shirts? How many people showed up in shorts and sandals? How many people showed up dressed in an inappropriate way? Now I change the meaning completely. Listen, brethren, we have more respect for the world. We have more respect for dress codes at school. We have more respect for anybody than we do the house of God. When that is true in our lives, we're sick spiritually. When we don't respect the house of God, and we don't realize that we ought to enter into the house of God, this is a sacred place. This is a building that's been set aside for God's people to come together to worship God. And we're to enter into this place in a state of thanksgiving, a state of reverence. And if you're ever going to dress in a way that would honor and glorify God, you ought to do it every time that you come to the house of God. You ought to dress the very best clothes that you have every time you come to the house of God. It used to be that way, didn't it? Didn't it used to, Brother Ken? Did it used to be that way? Sir? Absolutely. Brother David, your next generation below that, was it that way when you were a boy? Absolutely. Let me tell you something, brethren, you can get mad at me all you want to. We have stopped reverencing God like we ought to. We have stopped reverencing God's house. You know what some people tell me when I start speaking about this? You're just going to make people mad and they're just going to leave the church. Let me tell you, sooner or later, anybody that doesn't want to reverence God and His house, sooner or later, they're going to leave the church anyway. So you need to stop, and I need to stop worrying about offending people. We need to shape up, and we need to start living and acting like we ought to live and act in the house of God. Because people that show contempt for the house of God in the way they dress, and the way they walk, and the way they act, and the way they meander into the house of God late and walk in and out of the house of God, those same people will soon, I promise you this, they will soon disrespect other things in the Word of God. There's just a slippery slope that you get on, and you can deny it or not believe it's true all if you want to, but there's a pattern given in God's Word, and we better get back to the pattern that God gave us in His Word. And I love all of you young couples. I love every one of you with all my heart. But I beg you to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I beg you to teach them and train them the right way. There's a pattern God gave for the church. And we cannot deviate from that pattern. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, did those churches in Revelation 2 and 3, let me go there, Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Did those churches in the book of Revelation, did they deviate from God's pattern? Did they deviate from God's pattern? In Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Did they alter the pattern that God gave them for the churches? Some of them did. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Look at beginning in verse, Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. Well, 1. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. The Word of God says unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Who's speaking here? Who is speaking in Revelation 2 verse 1? Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Is he commending them there? In verses 2 and 3, everything he says is commending them. What he's saying is, you have made this part of the church exactly according to the pattern. You've done in this area, you've done exactly the way that I ordained for the church to be. But look at the right sleeve. Look at the right leg. Look at the rest of the body. Look at how you have changed things. That's the reason he says in verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Let me ask you this. Will God ever be satisfied with a church that follows half of the pattern that God's given us in His Word? God refused to accept the pattern that the church at Ephesus had come up with. They had altered the pattern. They still had half the pattern, but the rest of the half, one area, in fact, in one area, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love." Now that was a deviation from the pattern. They were supposed to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They were supposed to love their neighbor as theirself. They had left their first love. They had left loving God and doing things because of their love for God. They had left that apart from the rest of everything they were doing. What does God say He'll do to them because they departed from that portion now? Sometimes people say, "Can't you be happy with 8/10 of my life being okay?" No, God's not satisfied with 8/10 of the church being all right. He's not satisfied with us doing most of what His Word says. He says, you remember the words that He said to Moses? He said, "See that thou do," what are the next two words there? "See that thou make" what? "All things according to the pattern that was given to thee in the mount." Come down now in Revelation chapter 2 to verse 14. And I'm not going to read all of these verses, but I encourage you to go home and read how these churches departed from the pattern. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, "I have a few things." This is about the church at Pergamos. In verse 14, he says, he commends them. Now, does he tell them things they're doing right? In the beginning, does he say you're doing some things according to the pattern? And then he says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, and who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication, so that thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate." God hates false doctrine. Do you hear that? God hates false doctrine. Teachings in the church that are contrary to the Word of God cannot be tolerated. Some churches say it doesn't matter what you think or what you believe. It does matter to God. It doesn't matter to the world. In fact, the devil is quite all right with you believing half of what the Word of God says. The devil is okay with a church following half of the pattern that God's Word calls for. The devil will compromise on half the Word if you'll deviate in the other half. If in any one point you will deviate from the pattern given us to God in His Word, the devil's all right with that. Did you know that? The devil's okay with the church doing most of what's right if you'll just change the pattern in one area. Change the doctrine, change the practice, change the things God's called for in His Word. You change it and see what happens. That's what God says. And let me also say that there's a pattern given in God's Word for feeding people, and that's part of the function of the early church. Does everybody understand that? That's part of the function of the early church. Anybody that doesn't think that's part of the function of their church, the fact that we don't do it today, that doesn't mean that's the pattern. Do you understand what I'm saying? The fact that churches today don't feed their widows and orphans, the fact that churches don't help people, feed people today, that doesn't mean that when we start doing it that we've changed the pattern. It means we've gotten back to the pattern given in God's holy Word. Does everybody understand that? This idea that we haven't done it that way, and I don't know of any other church that does it that way, you better get back to what God's Word says. And God's Word is very clear about one of the functions of the church is to help those and to feed those that stand in need. And if we haven't done it in the past, we need to hang our heads in shame, not gloat in the fact that we don't do it the way some other people do. Did you know there are some people that have that part of the pattern correct? Did you know there are some religious organizations today that they don't have the doctrine right and they don't have a lot of other things right, but they've got that part of the pattern right? And any area in our lives as a church that we have deviated from the pattern given us in God's Word, we better get back to the pattern. We better start back doing what God's Word. Can you worry about, well, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? Well, you can worry about it all you want to and just not do it, but you better just get back to doing what God's Word says. if you want God to stay in the church. I believe with all of my heart that God is very gracious and very patient in instructing us about how to do things according to the pattern given us in the Word. I believe that over the years, I've been here now for 28 years, and I believe that over the years God has shown us one thing after another that we needed to change and correct. Don't you think that's true? When I came here 28 years ago, I was told, and I think Brother David will remember this, I was told, we will never exclude anybody from the church. Do you remember that, Brother David? In your home, there was a group of people that met one night when I was here preaching a meeting, and I preached on church discipline. We met in your home, and the people from the church met that night, and I was told, we'll never vote to exclude anybody from the church. Now, do you know why they felt that way? Because they thought, and listen, those were godly people. They loved the Lord. But they'd never been instructed in that portion of God's Word. Isn't that correct? But then when they began to hear, now this is what God's Word says, though it was very painful, and though it is still very painful, and though it is still very difficult, the church began to change. And listen, brethren, as long as I live and as long as you live, I believe God's going to keep showing me and you things we need to change in our personal lives. He's going to, from time to time, he's going to say, look right here. Your right sleeve is way too long. Your right breeches leg are way, they're really in a mess. And every time he shows us something in his Word that we need to change, we need to get right back to the pattern and not argue with the pattern of God's holy Word. See that thou make all things according to the pattern. Because if we don't, as a church, do things according to the pattern given to us in God's Word, God will spew us out of his mouth. If you want to be lukewarm, that's what God says he'll do. He said, I'll just spit you out. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, does God give us a pattern for the church? Is every detail given about what we need to do in the church? Is it given to us in the Word of God? I believe that it is. Now, what about the home? Listen carefully. Everybody wake up and listen. The home. Has God given a pattern for the home? For the family. Has God given a pattern for the family? Who is the head of the woman? Who is the head of the woman? Okay, we had two different answers. Man or the husband, that's correct. Either one of those is correct. Both of those are words that are used in the Scriptures. The man is the head of the woman. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Now, there have been some people that have come to me wanting me to perform a marriage ceremony for them, and as they looked at the marriage vows, and the woman said that she would honor and obey her husband. In fact, we have some coming here now that objected to that. And the woman said, I'm not to obey him. Why don't you have it in there that he's to obey me? That's not part of his vow, but that's part of my vow. And I have to go through and explain. Well, now here's what God says is the role of the man and the woman. The man is the head of the woman. The husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ is head of the church. Who set that pattern up? It was that horrible apostle named Paul who didn't like women. Is that true? No, brethren. It was God himself that set that pattern up. That wasn't Paul personally feeling or thinking that. That was God's Word. It is God's Word. Now, the same man who said that the man or the husband is the head of the wife, that same man, by inspiration of God, God says the husband is to love his wife even as Christ also loved the church. And I believe with all of my heart, brethren, that when a man loves his wife the way Christ loves the church, that the wife will have no problem obeying her husband. Because the husband is never going to ask the wife to do more for him than he does for her if he loves her like Christ loves the church. Whose pattern is it that set this up? That the head of the woman is the man. Who set that pattern up? God did. And by the way, the man is the head of the woman and the parents are the head of the children. Listen carefully. God said he had a great controversy with his people Israel because children were their oppressors and women ruled over them. Do you hear that? God said that his controversy with Israel was children were their oppressors and women ruled over them. Did you know that's a problem we have today? This is not a problem that just is limited to the home. Though it is a problem in the home, it's a problem in the church, and it's a problem in society today. Now, God's pattern is what we have to go by. That's all I've got to go by. I can't change the pattern. It does not matter. We had one lady that came to church here, and she was one of the most outstanding teachers I've ever known in my life. And she said, if you'll let me teach, I'll join the church. And I said, I'm sorry, if I could let you teach. And I told her, I said, I have no doubt that you're a better teacher than I am and probably a better teacher than anybody in the church. But I can't change the pattern that God's given us in His Word. And God's Word says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. God's Word says, let your women keep silence in the churches. And I know there are some varying degrees of what you think that might mean, but it has to mean something, brethren. It has to mean something. And we need to follow the pattern that God's given us in His Word, in the church and in the home. And let me say this in closing. Disciplining children. And children are to honor, by the way, children are to honor their parents. When a parent says to a child to do something, I'm going to go further and say, because I believe that it's taught in the Word of God, I believe that grandchildren are to honor their grandparents. If I ask my grandchildren, if I tell them to do something, I think they have a responsibility to do what I tell them to do. And any grandchild that doesn't honor the request of their grandparents, I believe they're failing to honor their parents and they're failing to honor their grandparents. You think about that. I believe there was a time, I believe you go back two generations, I believe children honored their parents for the most part. They honored their grandparents. They respected their elders. And if an elder said don't do something or do something a particular way or a teacher said do something or don't do something, that child responded immediately to what the parent or the grandparent or the teacher or any other adult said. Why? Because two generations ago, people understood the pattern that God gave in His Word for order. God gave that pattern. Children, honor your mother and father. Now let me say one more thing in closing. And that's on discipline. Listen carefully to this. And let me say also that I believe there are some women in this house, in the church, that sometimes try to run the house and try to be the boss over the man. And you need to change that. And there are men in the church that are failing to be the disciplinarians that they ought to be. And they want the mamas to discipline the children instead of the daddies discipline the children. I think the Scriptures, and I can take the Scriptures and prove this, but mamas and daddies are supposed to both discipline. But now you listen carefully. The primary function of disciplining children is given to the fathers. The fathers. And every time, if there's a child in this church that pitches a fit, you know who has the primary, you know whose fault that is primarily? It is the father's fault. Brother Mac, Brother Noah pitches a fit, or Brother Ethan pitches a fit. Don't you say, April, take him out. You take him out. Does everybody understand that? Fathers. Fathers. Train up your children in the way that they're to go. Fathers, teach your children. Fathers, discipline your children. Who set that order up? Well, but see, there are some mamas that are just better disciplinarians than the daddies are, you see? And it's all right for us to change it in our home because the mama's a better disciplinarian. No, it's not all right for you to change it in your home. It is not all right. It is never all right to change the pattern God's given us in His Word. You work to restore the pattern that God gave you in His Word if it's not working right now in your home. If your home and your family is not based on the pattern given in God's Word, then I encourage you and I exhort you and I command you in the name of Jesus Christ that you get back to the pattern that God gave you in His Word. Now, I'm going to close with one verse of Scripture just to show you that fathers have the primary responsibility of disciplining their children. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. And I'll give you many other scriptures later, but here's one. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." Now, does that mean give your belt to your spouse and tell her to go spank the child? No, it doesn't mean that. It says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him," he that loveth his son, "chasteneth him betimes." You chasten him early and you chasten him often. If you love your child, you chasten him early and you chasten him often. It's part of premarital counseling to teach parents the pattern that God gave us in His Word. And if you don't follow that pattern, though you know what the pattern is, and though you've been instructed in that pattern, if you don't follow that pattern, God will judge you for failing to follow the pattern. What did God tell Moses? "See that thou make all things according to the what? According to the pattern given to thee in the mount." May God help us to do all things that we do according to the pattern given us in His holy word, in the home and in the church, is my prayer for Christ's sake.